welcome to that Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, cybersecurity, data privacy, and tech innovations. I'm Laura Milstein, and I know a little bit about technology.
And I'm Kevin Albert, and I feel like I know a little bit about technology as well.
But we don't know enough, and that's why each week we're bringing on heavy hitters in the industry to help us break down these topics. And today, Kevin, who are we talking to?
Today we're talking to Joy Morrow. Joy is a legal technology pioneer with over 25 years in big law and corporate legal departments. As the founder and CEO of Practice Online Resources, Joy brings innovation and education to the broader legal arena to include government agencies, small and mid-sized law firms, and service providers. Throughout her career, Joy has made significant contributions to the legal field. She played a pivotal role in developing and overseeing practice support departments at law firms such as Latham & Watkins and Paul Hastings, and she hired and managed over 200 direct reports supporting the firm practice areas while shouldering the responsibility of training and educating lawyers and paralegals within these firms. Joy also serves as the Section Executive Committee Chair for the California Lawyers Association and sits on the Global Advisory Board for the Association of Certified eDiscovery Specialists. Joy, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Joy, this is a true honor to have you on the show. You have been in the tech space for as long as I've been in the tech space. I've definitely seen you around. I've heard about you. I've known a lot of the things that are going on. And I think originally, actually, I was working at Reveal back in the day. And I remember when I got onboarded, we did a training with your company. So I can't escape you. So I figured might as well bring you on the pod. Might as well share you with the world. So
truly honored to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited. So just to get crazy and just to dive right into today's episode, which, side note, I say that too often, you guys. I'm constantly like, dive in. I'm like, no one is swimming. But just to get to the nitty gritty of everything that we're talking about, can you just tell us, how did you get to this point? How did you become Joy Tech Extravaganza? Tell us all.
Well, I think the beginning obviously is going to paralegal school and wanting to be a lawyer, right? The concept of going to paralegal school as a primer to seeing if you like the legal environment. And just from my background, computers and technology was definitely something I did in undergrad. So when people saw your resume of paralegal plus technology, and this is, and Laura, to date myself, 1994, I think that maybe you're going to tell me that's when you were born. But okay, so I get that all the time. But I got here because there was this bridge that needed to be kind of traversed between IT and legal, right? And they were turning to paralegals or turning to support staff saying, you know, we really need someone to hold the hand of the attorneys. And so it started as early as 1994, giving, here's a manual that was 300 pages called Imagic. Read it, condense it to 12 pages, and then go around the country and train all the O'Melveny at the time was where I was at. O'Melveny & Myers, lawyers on this database technology. And so to this day, I feel like it's the same thing I've been doing, but obviously different products through the years, but there's still this gap. And I'm just happy to be brave enough to learn all this new technology. And that's what I tell people. You just have to be curious and just be tech confident. Don't be intimidated by technology. If you can just show up, you got this. So that's kind of how I'm still here.
So part of this, though, is that you're teaching a lot of different things and a lot of different subjects. Is there a reason that you recommend that people go to a company like yours as opposed to, you know, like going directly to the companies? Like, you know, why wouldn't somebody go to Reveal and have Reveal train on them or go to Relativity directly, for example? Is it just that there's too much technology out there?
Well, I think the key to me is the blend of the legal and the technology, right? The concept that understanding what the lawyers and who we're delivering to, that there is a why to the what and the how. And so I can learn a product. I can learn how to do a specific task within one tool. And I'll be honest, a database is a database in my mind. So whether you do Reveal, Relativity, or Disco or whatever, the concept of what we're trying to output and deliver should be the same. But why you do it and how you consult when you use the product, that's important to me. And I think that's why you would go to someplace like myself, like my company now, because we are strategically focusing on a comprehensive learning program and a career development track, or go to a law firm. I think that a law firm and a vendor service provider, those are great opportunities because you're dealing with those attorneys and the legal and the support staff of paralegals one-on-one day-to-day. So you're hearing what they need. And if you're, again, if you went down that track of going to paralegal school, coming out, working on cases, you're going to encounter technology at every turn, whether it's conflicts and onboarding new cases to billing and timesheets. Those are all technology-based now, e-billing, all the way to M&A, due diligence, virtual data rooms, employment law, class action, you know, kind of damage assessments. I love it because at every turn, there's an opportunity for a paralegal or an attorney or a support staff to show their value to the client. When you talk about billable rates and you're talking about hundreds and thousands of dollars per hour, I hope that we're displaying to clients that we are holding them tight and saying we're trying to leverage technology as much as we can, and we're giving you the value. That's why the prices are getting a little high.
I love what you're saying. It's sort of a one-stop shop to educating your employees. And I don't think people do that enough. I mean, you come onto a company, even when I was onboarded onto Reveal and you all came in and taught that, that's one component to a company. And so I think it's important to recognize, you know, you buy a house, you say, okay, it needs to be remodeled. I don't just say, all right, just the kitchen. And then, you know, it's like, that's it. And it's like, well, who cares about the bedroom? That's someone else will deal with that. It's like, well, I
or the foundation. Right?
Yeah.
The foundation is broken.
Yeah. You're like, what a beautiful house. And then the roof collapses in and the windows leak and then your bills are crazy. And you're like, I don't understand. It's so pretty. And so I do think it is an undervalued, honestly, it's, I think it's something that people say as that's a nice to have, when in reality, it should be a need to have. So,
when you think about it now with attorneys, like, what is it? You have to know it, learn it, or hire for it, right? Yeah. So I specifically for eDiscovery, I find that that's it, right? They either know it because they were great, where they were very technically advanced to really embrace that, or they had federal cases back in 2006 that force them to start using it, right? Or they've had to learn through time, or they're really, you know, conscientious about eDiscovery learning, or they're hiring their paralegals or their lit support or their vendors to help them. But either way, they have to participate in this practice. It's not like you can just close your eyes and pretend and tap, you know, click your heels that technology does not exist. There is no evidence on that phone. There is no evidence on that computer, right? That's not happening.
It's not there. I didn't send that email. You're
that's
not
my signature. Yeah.
Prove it. I mean, it's you. Yeah. No, it's not me. Before you came on, Kevin and I were actually talking about how things are changing so much. And I know that your company, although you've done global trainings, primarily you're located in the US. And so one of the things that Kevin was sharing, and Kevin, I'm going to let you speak to it because there's a lot, but it brings the question. So I'll just ask you the question. And then Kevin, you dive into more details for everyone, because our listeners are probably like, what's she trying to say? But it's more of how things are changing now. You're looking at bringing talent from different countries. You're looking at downsizing a lot. You're looking at new softwares like ServiceNow. Why not hire ServiceNow? So my ultimate question to you is, how does this impact you? Personally, how is this impacting you and your company? And for everyone else wondering, how does what impact the company? This is where I'm going to pass it to Kevin to kind of break down some of the trends and things that are happening.
Yeah, Laura and I were talking, you know, obviously when we both went to Ireland, we went on critical skills visas. And, you know, one of the big pieces that is interesting to me is now the US has really restricted the H-1B visa. They don't really let everybody in quickly anymore. And one of the things that I saw was that Canada had basically opened up their borders and basically said, for anybody who's waiting on a US H-1B visa, you can just come right in. And they basically had 10,000 slots and they were filled within 48 hours. And I was like, oh my God, are we basically about to deal with a big sort of brain drain where people are basically floating to other countries because of some of the things that are happening here? Are you worried about, you know, some of that? Because like a lot of those people, you know, become paralegals. A lot of those people, you know, have the ability to kind of overlap with the legal firm. Are you worried about that piece of it? Like basically that we're going to lose a whole bunch of talent?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because I believe if you look at the country today, there's a lot of amazing people in markets that we really were not looking to for suppliers, like to supply. For example, Idaho, right? Amazing group of lawyers and great paralegals out there and a lot of legal secretaries and resources. Because there are a bunch of people who support attorneys who are not, who did not get a certificate, for example, in the paralegal studies, but they're still serving in that role. Or there are lawyers who basically had a change in quality of life or had families and maybe are not or no longer in that track that are working as contract attorneys or temp attorneys right now. So I think that if you look at America, I think we're not short of those resources. And I don't think those are the resources that are always the ones that are leaving. I see those tech positions as the ones that are leaving. But when I look at what I do every day, technology is definitely a component. But you no longer have to be an electrical engineer or computer science person to sit in my seat, right? I was not one. I was an English major in 1994, right? Coming out. Like I said before, you just have to not be intimidated by technology. You have to be open to being able to bridge that gap of the legal, understand what legal needs, and then be able to say, okay, well, what technology is out there right now? Let me be, again, that curiosity. Let me see what's out there. Let me talk to people and see what they're using. Let me call this one service provider and try them and then get a feel for what other products they may have or suggest. So I don't think that the resources that we currently have in America are even being tapped as much as they can be. And that's why, to me, moving our program online, looking for people who have that work ethic, who are looking for the opportunities. I mean, I have had and been blessed with an amazing financial side of my career because of the supply and demand issue, right? There is still no tech school that's going to generate a litigation support person out of the gate, right? It's still not there. But when I look at the attorneys that need to be serviced, you need different people with different personalities, different temperaments, different abilities. Some practice areas are purely transactional. So they need tech in a different way than maybe litigation or criminal. To be honest, I mean, criminal is very similar in what we do to litigation, but that's a whole nother area we haven't even been talking to yet, are defense attorneys and plaintiff side or the government agencies and how to better enable them to be tech savvy, right? They're doing raids and collecting computers. And who's reading all this? Are they still printing it out and using a photocopier to Bates number things? I've seen it, so I know it's happening. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for jobs. And then now with the Great Resignation and the concept of the remote workforce, I do see so many job openings, but no one to fill them. So I'm hoping that we can help, again, supplement training, qualify people, and really help them understand where they fit. Because not everyone can work at a trial law firm. That's pretty intense in regards to hours. So we need to make sure that we're being realistic about your personality and your needs and fit it with the right firm. So.
You really took my question of how does this impact you? And you said, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Try a new question. So I need to get myself together.
Well, no, I think it's one thing to be said about that is I never look, I how can I say this? I always tell people, don't tell me what you can't do. Tell me what we can do, right? Yeah. So I'm not worried about the jobs that are leaving. I'm looking at the jobs that are here. So I do tell people, I have rose colored glasses, and maybe that's what they say, oh, you're just so optimistic. And I'm like, well, I guess so, because you know what? My name's Joy. What am I going to do?
You know, wouldn't it have been funnier if you weren't, though? You were like, I'm just always so upset. I'm Joy.
For me, what's interesting in this industry is how things have changed, right? When I started in the industry, it was a whole bunch of like law enforcement folks, right? And, you know, the legal industry didn't really have, you know, this kind of a skill set in there. There weren't really tech people in. And now, you know, there are places that teach this, you know, right out of school. There are certainly programs you can do. But for the most part, there still was a lot of people who are just learning on the job. You know, it's a lot of sink or swim type of thing. And I think that's interesting. But at the same time, it's, you know, kind of a terrible way to really do this, because you want people have like a baseline set of skills, and you can't assume that everybody has that. Are you seeing, you know, kind of that same thing where there's sort of that big gap between folks either in big law, you know, versus small law, or like in, you know, New York versus in Idaho, as you mentioned?
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, we're really lucky to have organizations like Women in E-Discovery, ASEDS, EDRM, right, that kind of cover the United States, if not the globe. I mean, they're really having chapters all over. So we're really lucky that there's at least organizations that are putting a little spotlight on our industry. It's not still not there in regards to like no little kid says, I want to be a lit support person. No, I've not heard that yet, unless it's a daughter or son of someone in the business.
Honestly, actually, even then.
I was going to say, actually, you know what? My friend's kids say, I don't want to be what you guys are, because we work a lot. But no, but that being said, I think that the key is the collective comprehensive learning and tailoring it to a job, not saying I want this unicorn that can do everything. And if I had a dollar for every time says, I'm looking for a unicorn, I'm like, they don't exist. So I don't know how we're going to supply this to you. How about a stallion, a mare, and a foal? Right? Like, maybe we can kind of stratify the kind of work that's out there. And, you know, if you want to keep your employees happy, we're happy to jump in and roll up our sleeves and pick up the trash one day and then go speak to CEOs the next day. But if you're going to make that my regular job and I'm doing 20 hours a day trying to keep up, you're going to lose and burn out staff, which I do feel we've done. I don't think the size of the firm is what's going to determine, like, oh, every big law lawyer knows how this works. No. And I've been there, and I'll say it's still a challenge to have consistent, sustainable learning for all lawyers in the firm, because everyone's busy. It's not a billable task. Those are things that are being monitored and bonused on and expectations. So it's hard to really squeeze in comprehensive learning in a 5 hour a year allocation to CLE or any kind of requirement, right? So I think more it's about the person's school that they probably went to. Like, certain schools, like I said, do have, there's probably 10 law schools that I think have addressed some of the technology issues. A lot of the paralegal schools have, they have some kind of legal tech. But my point is, it's not like the core curriculum that they teach at an ABA law school, right? There's certain things that every law school, like those books behind me, they're not mine, they were donated. Because I still do want to go to law school. But whenever I do this, people look at those books and they're like, oh, those, that's, you know, whatever. They recognize the books because that is a core core subject across all law schools. There isn't that for the technology aspect of legal. They don't come in saying, oh, I understand that legal hold tool, that looks familiar, or the process, or conflicts checking. What is that? I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay. You know, or even going to trial and they're saying, oh, that, like the stuff on TV. I'm like, yeah, like the stuff on TV. You know, they just, it's kind of interesting. But Nita has done a great job. Shannon Bales, I think you might know Shannon, wrote a book and a trial companion. So I think we're getting there, because Shannon and I worked together years ago. And I think it's beautiful when our people are finally making inroads into structured learning. But it's still a challenge. It's not going to be there for everybody. So I think that's where you're getting the inconsistency, is not the firms, but more so of how they were trained or the law schools that are going into. In California, you don't even have to go to law school. You can be apprenticed. I mean, Kim Kardashian, I think, went that route, down that route. I thought, oh, let's.
That's what I was thinking when you said that. I was just like, yeah, Kim K.
Yeah, let's go talk to Kim. Because her father actually was one of the early users of LiveNote for the transcript technology and the trial use of that video and transcript synchronization for trial. So to me, I think until we get someone like that who could spotlight it and, you know, put us on TV and make a Law and Order litigation support unit, I don't think it's...
Joy, what do you think is happening right now? This is the moment. It's right now. Yeah, this is it.
Call me. This is right now. But because I did think that, you know, when you talk about leveling the playing field, I do believe there's a lot of lawyers who are intimidated by the technology still to this day. And so the lawyers who can embrace it, or at least understand it enough to use it at the high level, just explain it and leverage it, let us do the work. But if you know, I'm the mechanic, you drive the car. Okay, you drive it around and then you tell us what you need and we'll get it fixed. But, you know, until that happens, you're going to have just a really imbalanced equation in litigation and even due diligence for M&A deals. It's all about corporate records and it's all evaluating whether there's risk in buying this company. There's a lot of risk detail in the electronic data we have on all these servers and storage. So
I think you're spot on. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't go to school for. And you think about a lawyer, you're going to university, you're then going to law school, you're getting all of this just reading, so much reading. And you finally get into the firm and you're ready to go. And then they say, oh, you know how to use this e-discovery platform. What? I didn't go to school to learn e-discovery. People that sell e-discovery, people that build e-discovery platforms did not go to school for e-discovery. It doesn't exist. So you have to question, well, how do I use this? Why would I want to spend all of this time to become a lawyer to then learn a new trade? I don't want to do that. Really? And that is a understatement to an extreme. I don't think it is very often that you meet a lawyer that says, oh yeah, I'd love to just, you know, let's actually go behind the scenes. How did we build the processing engine? I'd like to start there. It doesn't happen. So I think it is, you're spot on where you're going to these law firms and you're saying, focus on what you know, focus on the law. As a tech person, I don't want to focus on the law. If all of a sudden you came to me and you said, Laura, I know your expertise is e-discovery and cybersecurity, but you need to also be able to go to trial and defend the case of whatever. I would say the investigation part, we can put the documents through this. I can help you with that, but I'll go on trial, but we won't win. I will put an argument out there. Something is gonna get us in trouble, and it's me, right off the bat. I think you are spot on.
I always like look at it like comparing healthcare to legal, mm-hmm. right? Or being a subject matter expert or specialist, right? That I know that my general practitioner is not running the MRI machine, and please God, don't let them be running the MRI machine, right? So, and I also know the MRI technician is different than the doctor who is going to read the MRI scans after, right? Like, just like resource-wise, there's no way that one doctor is going to run all 16 different things. Like, are they going to also pull your blood? Like, no, I go to the lab and those phlebotomists pull my blood. Fair enough. Why do we expect one lawyer to be able to do everything? Like, all of a sudden, like this lawyer who's, you know, talking to the client and thinking of the strategy and trying to understand which way we're going to go, they're the ones who are also supposed to go and file the document by midnight through PACER, through ECF, ECFX. So no, that's not going to be that person. So I do think it's interesting how in legal, we just haven't really dissected the components that make a good legal team work. So.
Agreed. Completely agreed.
A lot of consolidation in firms. There's a lot of firms that are sort of either, you know, going away or what have you. Do you have a positive outlook on the way the industry is going right now? Do you feel like this is a good time for people to be going to law school, going to paralegal school?
I still want to go to law school, Kevin. So I'd say we won't die that out too quick. But,
crazy talk, by the way. Why would you want to go to law school?
I don't even want to go.
Have a great time.
I do enjoy what they do. I don't want to become a mechanic though. But so... So one thing when I talk about it, when I look at, I explain things to people like corporations and government agents, like who are our clients, right? So first of all, the clients themselves have legal departments. So I do see some movement or migration from law firms into corporate legal departments, whether it's the paralegals and attorneys, or it's the legal operations, or it's, again, the legal technologists who are helping bridge the gap between the law department and the IT group of that corporation, right? And especially when you think about global corporations, then you have bigger data privacy and compliance issues. So you can only imagine that there is a whole ecosystem for the next generation of legal or law firm people to go to. Therefore, who's stepping up to fill the roles of the law firms? Because outside counsel are always, I feel, going to be around. Because you're always going to have an issue of scale. You're going to have an issue of local representation. You know, we need local counsel in different areas. You're not going to be able to do all that. And then again, when you look at corporations, global corporations, IP, right? How many different practice areas do they have? Tax, real estate, finance, right? So I don't think that lawyers are going away anytime soon, with or without ChatGPT or generative AI. Everyone's so scared of it. But I think, again, that's just another tool. But that I think when you look at strategy and everything that is a part of practicing and supporting, whether it's regulatory or it's more litigation transactional, or if it's litigation, you're going to need people. I do see when we look at someone's budget, and I equate it to shopping, for example, like I buy certain things at Whole Foods, I buy some things at Costco, I buy certain things at Trader Joe's, and every now and then I'll go to 99-cent store. Right? Because there's some things I'm like, whatever, doesn't matter. This is fine. I think that's the same in regards to how clients should be looking at their projects, their legal projects. When do you need LegalZoom? And when do you actually need a full-fledged lawyer looking at your specific things, right? When do you need a form versus when do you need consulting, right? So I don't know. I do think that while I see consolidation, I do think that there's a power in coming together because clients are complex. You might be going in there for immigration and then you might end up having a family law situation too that you have to service that client. So whether you're formally coming together or if you're collaborating through your bar associations and finding like we have a solo small firm section for the California Lawyers Association, I think it's a great networking opportunity for them to say, oh, I have a new case. Oh, you do wills and estates and trusts. Well, I need that too. And so that's a form of consolidation, but it's not a formal partnership and all that. But I think the concept is clients are complex, no matter how small or big they get. You're going to need to have multiple or different kinds of subject matter expertise, whether it's attorney expertise or if it's a technical expertise. We always need subject matter experts. So the jobs aren't going away.
The whole time I just kept thinking, if you were to relate this to dating, my interpretation is, why not date many people? You know, this partner gives me this, this partner gives me this. Why would I limit my options? And I don't need to give everything to one person. I can be like, you know what? You get this, you get this. I mean, it sounds great.
I like that, sister. Let's go. Let's mm-hmm. work going out. But we're hitting the town. No. But I agree. Like, I think it's about friends, right? Yep. Like you have certain friends who love going out to the theater. Maybe you have different friends that love walking and hiking. And those aren't my friends. But, you know, you might want a different set of friends that
none of our friends
listen to music. You know what I mean? Or you have a foodie group of friends. I do like people who like different things. So I do see that. I agree. And again, the concept is own what you do. Like I think for an individual, is figure out what you love doing. I think there's room. If you can figure it out and hone in on that, it's not work, right? It's just an extension of who you are and you do it because you love it. You do it because you have those natural tendencies to be able to be organized or to be a speaker, to be a trainer, whatever it is, that if you can just figure out what you love doing and what you're good at, lean into it, there is room for you in this industry. And I think that when you try to put a broad stroke of take this technology course, it doesn't tease out that specialness, that specialty from you, right? Because you're all just going to learn how to run a production. You're all going to learn how to process data. Well, what if I'm really good at teaching people how to process the data? Or what if I'm really good at collecting the data? We have, you know, like there's just so many facets to what we do. And I think what I love about what I do every day is I'm not confined to one thing. And I think when I first started coming, when I came out to start my business, people are like, you know, you need to focus. I'm like, I am focused. What are you talking about? This is what I've been doing for 20 years. This is litigation support. This is practice support. I hire, I train, we work on cases, we educate, we market. I got to go to trial. I got to go talk to the CIO of some company because they didn't do the collection right or whatever, or they want to do a self-collection. I am focused. I'm focused on what I do. And that just, you know, and it's just interesting because people, if you haven't lived it, if you haven't done what we do every day to support attorneys, they think that we're all out there. And I'm like, no, it's just a very intricate workflow. It's just a big workflow, you know.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, for me, I'm amazed how many like true lifers there are in this industry. Like there are people who just live and breathe it and are just in it forever. And so for me, I think it's just great to see the positive. I mean,
Kevin,
to a certain degree.
Like you?
I mean, yeah, to a certain degree. Like, you know, again, I don't know what else I would do. And so I'm always psyched when I go to the conferences and I see people that I just have known for 20 years, you know, 25 years. Like it's amazing to me. And so for me, I love that aspect of it. And I love the community side. And one of the things that I really like about what you've really done is just bring a lot of those people together. And so it's not just like the same sort of handful of folks who do some of the conferences and all. You're really like finding some of those diamonds in the rough, some of those like folks who wouldn't necessarily get those chances to kind of get out there. And so for me, I think that's a piece of it that I really think is awesome.
Thank you. And I think too is paying it forward. I know someone at several companies found me. I never knew that this job existed. I thought I was going to go to paralegal and go to law school. But someone said and looked at the resume, no, you belong here. No, I belong over here. No, you belong over here. And then later on, oh, you should be manager. No, I'm fine. No, you should be manager. Right? It all, you know, it's someone believed in me and saw things. And I only hope that I could take that time and do that for others because it is a time investment. It is something to look at someone and say, let me dedicate 20 hours to you and just work with you and figure this out. But I know that we can change lives. And we talk about like, you know, how do you leave a legacy? I don't know if people know, but I've had cancer twice in my life. And so, you know, you realize early that life is short. And if I was to not be here, could I leave and sleep, you know, rest well, knowing that what I've planted is growing in full bloom in other, you know what I mean? Like it's moving forward and moving on. Mm-hmm. And I do think it takes a special person, Kevin, for us to be sitting in a seat for being lifers. Because it does take chutzpah, right? It takes dedication. It takes resiliency. It takes like, you know, being able to let, you know, it's stressful. Some people yell at you all the time, but you know, like you just have to let it roll. Cause you're like, you know, they're having a bad day. You know, hopefully I'm not the one that added to that, but I don't think I did. I'm just going to keep on trucking. I'm going to be calm. I think that we have that personality to be like the duck. Someone told me like a duck, just be smooth and across, but down underneath we're like, our feet are just paddling away. That's a special person. And I'm happy to be there and to help cultivate the next generation of people like that. There are some people that are in our industry that maybe have one or two things that stress them out. I mean, I am sad that some people I feel have PTSD in our industry. I think that that is something to talk about. It's like mental wellness and stress management. Maybe they weren't meant to do this forever, but it's a great career. So, you know, they are because it is a financial situation thing, but hopefully we can help them. If we can be better about training resources that can come in and take these specialty things off their plate so they can have the ability to focus in and hone in on what's their sweet spot. I think the stress comes from making us do everything and you just can't please everybody. And so hopefully with a kind of people innovation concept, we're moving forward with being more open to working with people, whether you want to do 4 hours workday, that doesn't mean you're not valuable to me because you can only work 4 hours because you have a family or whatever. I'll take the 4 hours. Let's do it because then I can match it with another 4 hour person. And now we have a whole day, like job sharing concepts. It's something we talked about a long time ago and everyone laughed, job sharing. And I'm like, well, it's a team approach. What's wrong with a team approach? You know, now with COVID, I think this has been more realistic now that the working from home, the concept that you don't have to be sitting next to me for me to believe that you're working. I think it's taught us managers how to be better at managing remote staff and not relying on you clock in and clock out and you were here for 8 hours, therefore you did 8 hours of productive work.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there anymore. There are a few that I do feel bad. I think that the culture is not going to allow them to be fully remote. I think that cultures, our company cultures are definitely important to the equation. But that being said, I think that's why you have the great resignation coming in or being here is because people are realizing, you know, this culture doesn't fit me.
Yeah.
You know?
Joy, I was following everything until you got to the point of saying, you know, and there are some people that they can only work 4 hours because they have families. And that's where you lost me. You cannot have a family. Get out of here. We need 8 hour days. And by 8 hour, I mean 12. Right. Step up. Who works 4 hours? Like, I don't think I could do that if I tried. Like, to me, a PTSD, that's what I just got from that. I was like, oh, I'm scared. Like, all I would be thinking is I'm replaceable. 4 hours? I will replace you. If you're working 4 hours, nah, Vic, I'll add it to my schedule. Not a problem. Have fun with your family. You made your choices. But everything you said is really accurate. And you're a very inspiring person, just to put that out there. I think what you do, your company, is necessary. It's useful. It's helpful. It's an undervalued skill set that people need to be aware of. They need to be tuning into these things. They need to be stepping up, especially in the new remote world, but also in the fact that a lot of companies are going back into the office and having that face-to-face value, mentioning that you had cancer twice. I mean, whew, you know what that says to me? It says the world really wants joy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, and again, I think things happen for a reason. And, you know, gosh, whenever I think about resiliency, I never think of myself. But when you look at a story, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of stuff out there. But it just drives me even more, right? It means that, like you said, I'm here for a reason. And that just means I gotta just shine the light as much as I can. Until you can't, and then it's all right. Someone said, like, oh gosh, you're burning the candle at both ends. You really should, some people always give me this advice, you should really take it easy. You shouldn't be burning the candle at both ends. And I'm like, look, when I go, it's all wick. That's what I want on my stone, all wick.
Yeah, don't let them say that to you, Joy.
Yeah, no underutilized candle here. You know what I'm saying? You gotta burn it. And
burn it to the ground and then haunt them.
That's awesome. I think on that note, this is probably a good place to break. But this has been great, Joy. Thank you for coming on the pod today. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Laura, we just talked to Joy Morrell from Practice Align Resources. What were your tech takeaways?
Joy is incredible. I understand that I say that at least 10 out of 10 times we have someone on the show. But I think Joy was absolutely delightful. I think she is one of those people that has been in the industry for so long for such a positive reason. I always go back and forth. I know, Kevin, that you love the people that have been there, that every conference you're like, oh, it's Timmy again. I hate Timmy. I'm like, Timmy, go away, get a new career path. Why are you still stagnant? I do think in the industries of tech, whether it's e-discovery or cyber, you get the same people over and over that don't make changes. They talk about tech innovation, but they don't make their own adaptions to the technology. Joy is not one of those people. Joy is the other percentage of the people you see all the time that you are genuinely excited to see because she is constantly fighting to learn more, to do more. And I think she shows that. I think what she brings to the tech world is not only positive and inspirational, but helpful. As much as I like to say, you're a great person, I also am very much of, but how does it benefit me? And not in a selfish way, but in a real way. You can be the sweetest person ever, but if a storm is coming and you're just standing out in the rain, enjoy it. Have fun. I'm going inside. It's insane. I don't want to have to be like, Susie, come on in. Do you need an umbrella? No, I need a person in my life that says, I brought an umbrella for myself and a poncho for you. That is helpful and nice. And that's the combination that I think Joy really offers. I think when it comes to training, as mentioned in the episode, we lack it. We're behind. There is no e-discovery in college. These courses don't exist. And she was spot on when she mentioned about people not having job openings. That's a real thing where you don't have enough people to fill these jobs, or where you have all these people, but they're not getting these jobs because they don't have all of the training or they haven't had that work experience. And those two combinations leaves sort of an open field. And what I mean by that is the union effect. I went and I learned cyber, but no one is hiring me because I haven't proven that I can do it with work. But if I can't get hired to do that, then how can I prove that I can do it? And at the same factor, you don't have enough people that know e-discovery because there has been no training, there has been no schooling. So how do you hire the right people to do that? And I think everything she says about it, and she told us today with the industry, spot on. Oh, I could keep going, but Kevin, I guess I should leave room for your opinion as well. What do you think, Kev?
Well, thank you. I agree on a lot of that. I mean, for me, I think, you know, Joy is one of my favorite people in the industry. I've known her forever. You know, I like her also, just the mission of the company and what she's really doing. And I think the idea of it is really good, because right, it definitely is a skill set that people don't really have. There's certainly mindsets that you can try to find. Like, I always try to find customer service oriented people, help desk people, like food service people. But like, again, you find a really good food service person, they're not going to have this legal skill, and you want them to come in and be able to do their job. And so using a resource like Joy's is really critical. And so I definitely agree with all that. I am shocked that she really wants to go to law school. I can give you a million reasons why you should not go to law school right now, and then I can certainly crush your spirit. And so it's certainly exciting to see somebody who has that same joy and still enthusiasm and wants to keep learning. And I think it's a good thing. I'm really glad we had her on.
You know what they say, Kevin, don't be Kevin, be Joy.
I hear that a lot, actually, for sure.
I hear it all the time. I'm like, oh, it's a rough day. Think about what would Joy do? Exactly. I think that's the bracelet, WWJD. What would Joy do? I mean, it's been around for a very long time. You know that bracelet. If you are interested in finding out more about Joy, that tech pod, or anything that you can do to be on our show, talk to us about people that have been on our show, or learn more about us, or just say hey, you should reach out to us at contact@thattechpod.com. If you want, which I highly recommend you do, swing over to our website, www.thattechpod.com. Enter your email to subscribe so you don't miss anything going on. Check back past episodes. Just live on the site. It's just going to be so much time for you just to listen over and over to all the episodes. I think we almost have 200 now, so you're going to be busy. And I'm here for it. So check that out. If you have social media, you should head over to linkedin.com/thattechpod. And anywhere else that you have social media, we might be there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and always go to wherever you get your pods and give us a 5-star rating. Let us know how we're doing. Leave a comment. All that helps us with the algorithms.
Thanks, everyone.
See you.